Greetings in the Lord Jesus Christ. Overcomers.ca. The New Jerusalem. Chapter 5. Beautiful for Situation. Part 1. Scripture. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in all her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together, they saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever, Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God for ever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Psalm 48:1-14, and Scripture. The study on the New Jerusalem is a rebuke to those who desire to overcome. There is nothing about this study that is an easy road for anyone who desires to be a total conqueror in their lives. For the New Jerusalem is a study in contrasts. This holy city of God reveals the holy requirements to enter into it versus our natural earthborn existence. We see the holiness of the city of God, but we know that we have obedience to fulfill to come into that same state of holiness. There are some who claim completely the verses such as, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." 2 Corinthians 5:17. But then they stop there, without balancing these verses out with the rest of the truth. We do have a sinless new nature, but we at the same time have a sinful old nature. For the truth is that we live in a duality. There is still in us the old nature of fallen Adam to conquer and overcome, and for us to completely put off. For overcoming is done in the heart and in the mind by the Spirit of the Lord motioning within us. To balance 2 Corinthians 5:17 with truth, one needs to read the following: "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Ephesians 4:22-24. Now how can it be that if the old man is dead, that there is a continued obedience needed in putting that old man off? Just as necessary is the need to obey to put the new man on. Or if you would look at this verse, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, Romans 6:6. Much that is being taught as truth in this hour is causing one to eliminate the continued need for putting off the old man, that nature which is in contrast to the new nature. Anytime an automatic solution to a situation arises, and the answer is an easy answer, it is most likely the wrong answer. The truth is that for anyone to enter by the gates into the New Jerusalem, they must be perfected in every area of their lives, totally in the new nature, nothing of the old nature. They must have passed from death to life. And all that must be done by the Spirit of the Lord in our learned obedience, with no carnal religious works. The New Jerusalem gives unto us the contrast needed to cause us to run with patience this race, to put the old nature in its rightful place as being daily crucified. Much deception has gone into sonship circles because of the thought that only the new nature exists now. The old nature is not in existence. If that be so, then why are we not now living on the earth in the New Jerusalem? Why has this time of the manifestation of the city of God not come? What would then prevent God's promise from being fulfilled in us? If Christ now be complete in mankind, and that his seed is in every man, then why is the earth still staggering under the weight of the mystery of iniquity? What need have we of further obedience to our righteous calling? The fact of this is tantamount to seeing truth as it is in contrast to that which is old and is past as present truth. For in this world we can see the old Jerusalem with its rocks and walls, contention from the Muslims and the Christians and the Jews, wars, political unrest, and most of all the sworn alliance by surrounding nations to destroy the old Jerusalem and all of Israel in a mushroom cloud. The Jews are there still waiting the promise of God to send the Messiah and claiming that land as their own. The Christians are there beholding the relics and evidences of where Jesus once was, as well as the Mount of Olives, to see Jesus come back and cleave that mountain too. The Muslims believe that this place was holy to Muhammad, their prophet, and that the city therefore belongs to them as a holy place. Their belief is that the old Jerusalem is for Islam alone. No one else need enter. The contentions between all three are akin to strife and war beyond measure. As well, much contention came from the fact that Israel became a nation under the auspices of the United Nations, England and the United States in 1948. As a friend of the United States and England, they have had all the military backing they need to build huge stockpiles of armaments and munitions, which are held in reserve just in case. The ousted Palestine nation that was in this land in 1948 has warred constantly against Israel, meeting out to Israel the very same things Israel once meted out to them. The entire region has been a place of continued increased contention and strife that has cost the nations billions of dollars to support and to prevent an all-out Holocaust. Terrorism from the region has spread to every corner of the globe, and as a result, we now live in the world with each and every corner being a place of a potential threat. Truly, the earth has begun to live in a time where no place is safe wherein we stand. Bring into this the promise of God for the New Jerusalem. And oh, how much dissemination there exists over this revelation. For men have gathered as much interpretation into this promise of God as in any other portion of religious expression. The New Jerusalem, like the Old Jerusalem, has also had its share of contenders. Men have likened this holy city of God to the qualifying measure needed through their religious effort, which would grant them the right to go to heaven. But the New Jerusalem, like the Old Jerusalem, is to be on the earth. This earth. The entire concept of heaven and the New Jerusalem is a skewed concept. The New Jerusalem, even though it is held as the grand prize by man's ticket to heaven because of religious works, has nothing to do with religion or contentions or political ploys or efforts. Money does not come into it, neither does the opinion of carnal minds, nor does the imaginary bliss of a sweet by-and-by somewhere in a cloud of glory. This holy city of God is the holiness of the Lord in his people on the earth. The New Jerusalem bears the mark and the image of Father, not of man's puny religious enterprise. It bears the mark of the government of God, not of man's government or monetary policies. The New Jerusalem is a total contradiction to what the Old Jerusalem presently is. The New Jerusalem is the full expressed vocabulary of God in a people, just as God was the full expression of his own person in Jesus himself. There is no imaginary concept of heaven in the New Jerusalem. There is no religious effort to get there. There is no government of earth that can bring it to a policy or a law. The New Jerusalem stands completely alone as the very personage of God manifested in an overcoming company, even the company of overcomers who come as a four-square wall of jasper. As I said in the beginning of this discourse, the study on the New Jerusalem is a rebuke. It corrects us because when we allow the Spirit of the Lord to move in us in hope, we can see that we simply do not measure up to the holy qualifications needed to enter this city. No one does, except that the Lord do it in us. This is God's work, not man's work. However, we need to learn obedience to this rebuke by obeying in a verbal action the footfalls of our faith. For that to happen properly in an overcomer, and for that overcomer to get past the spirit of burning and hence the end of trials, one must align themselves with the requirements needed to enter this city. Remember that this holy city of God will be on the earth, not up in the sky somewhere. And when I state that there are qualifications for entering the city, one must meet these qualifications with no religious effort whatsoever. The first place to rebuke yourself is to judge yourself to see whether or not you be in the faith. If we do that, we can get past the first stage of the fiery process and enter into greater manifestations of holiness in our lives. And I can think of no better way to judge one's own self before the Lord than to know that what God is going to do, he's going to do in a new element on the earth, not in the old element that is existing now. And the desire of God is for that new element to work in your life in such a manner as to help you walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, not one of the promises of God to complete his work in us will be related to the physical city of the Old Jerusalem. It is only in the New Jerusalem that the will of God will be completed. There will be no political, monetary, physical thing happen in the Old Jerusalem which will ever usher in this hope we have of overcoming victory in every area of our lives. God is not going to do this work in the old city. He's going to do it and complete it in the new city. The old city has no more life in it than rocks and stones and walls than any other place on earth. It is simply a geographical location, nothing more. And if you gauge the coming of the Lord upon Israel or money systems or what is happening around the land of Israel, then you have totally missed God and his purpose. If you purport the coming of Christ to elevate his people into the ethereal state based upon computer chips and words from the Pope, then you have missed it. The New Jerusalem is holy and is complete and is the promise of God to those who would be found in Christ in total victory. Out from our minds has to go the concept of earthbound news reports and advances in technology that would somehow indicate that the Lord is about to return. Judge yourselves in this manner, that there is no sign on the earth of the coming of the Lord other than your continued growth in your new nature and the fact that much of Christendom is following delusion. For the sign of the coming of the Son of Man to catch us up totally in spirit will be by our maturing process. As well, it will be by the understanding that much of those around us are following a deluded understanding of God. That perdition that sits in the holy place as God, saying, "I am as God." So in judging yourself in the first stage, ask yourself if you were following any delusions. If you are, then judge that delusion in yourself and put it off. The New Jerusalem is that holy standard to which we will attain, not by our own effort, but by the Lord growing up in us, or if you will, by the seed of life in you coming to full maturity. This is that blessed hope for all nations. The New Jerusalem is depicted in the scriptures at the start of this writing to be Zion, the kingdom of his anointing. It is the place of King Jesus, the realm of his church, his body. To this element, I would add that it is the place where we will praise and worship God in the beauty of holiness. It is the finality of our walk, the end of our faith. We are coming into a city. The city is the place wherein the King reigns, and out from the city his reign does proceed to envelop all of his creation, to bring it all into the state of completed holiness. Each element of the fall will be consumed in the fire of God's holiness. So then, breaking down Psalms 48 verses 1 to 14, I see the following. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. The dimension of God in the city of God is great. Again, the dimension of God in the city of God is great. This is where the full expression of God abides, and this is where the servants of God will see his face. It is also very interesting that this is seen as a city, but at the same time as a mountain, even a mountain of his holiness. The nature of God in this city and this city is the mount of holiness for all creation. The nature of God is this city, and this city is the mount of holiness for all creation. In other words, the full expression of God is seen as holy in this city and as a mountain in its expression of God in his person. Here the realms of praise ascend unto him who has revealed himself in such a way as to bring hope for all of creation, removing creation from its negative contrast and into its new identity as part of the same city. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Now my question to you from the reader is this. If the city of God is the joy of the whole earth, then what would make you think that it is something to be attained in the future in heaven when you die? The city of God is here on the earth in a people, even the Church of Christ. It is beautiful for situation because it is holy in the new nature born after the Spirit. The whole earth is said to have joy in it. When I look at the newscasts, I don't see much joy. But this is a joy to the whole earth. Also, this city is related to the whole earth as Mount Zion, that place of the anointed life of God in a people. The New Jerusalem, the city of God, will in time be the joy of all nations as it becomes the standard by which all men will be measured. The city becomes the final hope for mankind. It is the final resting place of every soul. No defilement or unclean thing of the fallen old nature will enter into it. The old Jerusalem does not even pale in comparison when it is measured by this new Jerusalem. And in the midst of this city of God is Mount Zion. There is a mountain in the midst of it. This is the mountain of God's holiness, and that is the mount that all will come to. Note that this mount is on the sides of the north. What are the sides of the north? The place of continued judgment. For the Lord does come from the north to judge. The regal reign of the Lord will come in judgment of anything that does not fit into the holy requirements of this city. For the blood of Jesus prevails to give each one a place in this city, and for that to happen, each one must be judged. This is the city of the great king, and it is this great king that judges each one to fit them into their preordained place in the city. That is how great this king is. And to amplify his greatness, the king has ordained that the city be on the earth. This truly is a high place. It is a city that is the standard of holiness by which all nations will enter. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Not just for the time of our sojourn to that city, but in that city, God becomes a refuge. At this time, while the mystery of iniquity works in the earth, God is our refuge to protect us while we wait for him to finish his processings in us. But also then, when the standard of holiness is met and the overcomer is dwelling continually in the new nature and holiness, will God be that same refuge. The refuge of God is that element of separation, that standard of holiness, which is apart from all else that is yet to be judged. Not a self-righteous holiness that comes from religious effort, but the very nature and personage of God. For God by nature is holy, and it is that same holiness that is a refuge for the overcomer. Not everyone who will become fully judged and holy will be called an overcomer, but only those who endured the fires of judgment now while in their bodies of flesh and blood. Those who simply proceeded through each trial that was set before them. Those who obeyed the Lord in this life and came out from all other things to allow the Lord to work his fire into them, to separate in them the chaff from the wheat, the flesh from the spirit. See, these are the ones who will form that holy mountain of Zion. They will be the elements of living stone in the walls of jasper. The others in this nations will also enter in, but not as they who overcame. The palaces are elements of Jesus, the dimension of Jesus built into his overcomers. But then, when the building is complete, God, in the overcomers, becomes a refuge to the rest of humanity. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.